Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
As they say in Wisconsin, go!
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Go! Special message for all the kids watching at home.
Skeet. What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
Get out of here!
1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd, freakishly tall.
Go Badgers! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. How busy are Wisconsinites that they have to smash their words together? Are you so busy that you save so much time by just saying sko, skeet, sked out of here? That's like when people send the text, K, really, really, the O, too busy for that. Just K, we're a busy people, apparently, especially in Wisconsin. If you have anything wretched, would you kindly send it to idea@wretched.org? If and you want to text 877-282-2337.
Wisconsin? Is that what you said? Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's kind of a family thing, is what, you know, this dawned on me the other day. While I'd love to think that our family is unique, we're not. There's phrases in our home that we use that no other family probably does.
We just talked about this.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Can you think of any of the Hicksisms? I guess is what they'd be called. I got it, Gracie. That's one of ours. There was a movie. It had Bonnie Hunt. She's funny, and the husband is kind of lazy. So the baby's crying. And she said, could you go get that? And he doesn't do it. So she goes to get it. And as she's leaving, he's like, I got it, Gracie. No, Gracie, I got it. And he has no intention of moving. So I got it, Gracie. Yeah. That's one of ours.
Well, one of ours is the name of a television show. You know, that it's a TV show, Grey's Anatomy. You know,
I know of it.
Yeah, you know of it. So our youngest, when he was real little, he would call it Grey's Antonio. So we've always just called it that.
See? And it's a kid thing.
Yeah.
Hence, Wisconsin.
And that same child, we say this all the time, just picking each other. But we were on vacation and it was a small hotel room, 5 people. So he had to close the curtain in the hotel room to change clothes. And he told his older brother, if you look at me, you're disgusting. So we say that to each other all the time.
We've all got them, don't we? I'm not sure which daughter. I think, though, it was about this age. I'll prepare for a flashback.
Hi, sweetie. How was your day?
Pretty good.
Well, it doesn't sound so good. Is something wrong, honey?
Well, I'm not getting a very good grade in math.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And I didn't get picked to play kickball.
Ooh, ouch. That could be really painful.
Not only that, I'm not the most popular kid in school.
You must not be feeling very fulfilled.
No, I'm not.
You must feel like there's something missing in your life.
Wow, that's actually how I'm feeling.
I bet you're tired of striving for all the things the world has to offer.
Bingo.
You probably thought they were going to bring you happiness, but they've just left you empty, haven't they?
Wow, do you know that feeling?
I sure do, honey. I used to feel empty, too. My life was a failure. My first wife left me and she got custody of the kids. All of my investments went belly up and I lost everything I had. Well, I just had come to the end of myself.
That's actually how I feel, like I've come to the end of myself.
Yeah, but that feeling went away the day I asked Jesus into my heart.
Really? Will I feel better if I ask Jesus in my heart too?
Oh, absolutely. Just say a short prayer and the next thing you know, you'll have peace, fulfillment, and hope, and, well, school will feel better.
Sounds great. I've tried everything else. I might as well try Jesus.
Good for you, honey. You won't regret it. Now, repeat this prayer after me, but make sure you really mean it.
Win Wisconsin, 877-282-2337. I'm sparing you, Jimmy.
Okay.
I've got the other daughter here. Your neighbor across the hall, daughter?
I've already heard enough from her today.
Oops, I pushed the button.
Hi, honey. How was your day?
Terrific.
Oh, that's great, sweetie. Tell me about it.
I was voted the most popular, and I got an A on all my tests.
You were voted the most popular? Wow, that's terrific, sweetie. But you know, there's more to life than being popular
and Daddy Downer.
Getting on the honor roll.
There is?
Well, there sure is. You see, you might have a good day today, but pretty soon, those things just won't satisfy you.
They won't?
Nope. Even if you stay popular at school and you do really good on grades, someday...
Do good on grades?
Oh, and empty.
I will? Oh.
Trust me on this.
Okay.
Someday, you'll discover that all that the world has to offer, popularity, friends, fun, and good times, just aren't going to cut it anymore. And before you know it, you're going to have an ache inside for something more.
That sounds terrible.
It is terrible.
What should I do?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. You see, you have a God-shaped hole in your heart.
I do?
Listen, I'm your father. Just trust me on this. And only Jesus can fill that hole.
He can?
Yeah, he can. And if you just say this prayer with me, then Jesus will live in your heart.
What Bible verse says that?
Never mind that. Do you want to accept Jesus as your personal savior or not?
Why do I want to do that again?
Because you have a God-shaped hole in your heart. And someday, when you're not popular or you maybe get a C average, Jesus will give you fulfillment and hope.
Okay.
So just repeat after me.
All right.
And don't forget, you have to really mean it.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, sweetie,
right.
How was your day?
The authors of Wisconsin, 877-282-2337.
This is from Austin. He texted in, Todd, is it biblical for women to hold the position of worship leader? Currently, we're without a worship leader at our church. We do have a godly woman in the church who is capable, but she questions whether this is biblically appropriate.
That's a good question to ask. If you visit cbmw.org, this and many other similar scenarios are tackled there. And they're done, I think, from a pretty much as a conservative perspective as possible. Denny Burke is currently the head of the CBMW. So after talking to him, was that a week or two ago?
Yeah.
I get the feeling Denny doesn't play when it comes to church. So you're going to get a conservative answer from cbmw.org. I think that I would start with give me the job description. What do you mean by worship leader? Because that's a name that we've adopted. In fact, it's a relatively new name. I'm just guessing here, but I'll bet worship leader was a term that wasn't even used until the 80s. Why the 80s? That was when Christian worship music became more popular, started to grow, the Vineyard Movement, et cetera. It became more popular and it made its way then into the church and you needed people to help people follow along. And so we put somebody up there. It has expanded into not just somebody who helps people find their cue, but it's also become an encouraging role. Come on, church, come on, get those hands, you know, whatever, that type of deal. Sing louder, whatever they say. But it's also a teaching role for some, not all, but for some, where they actually speak on the platform. It is my belief that if you're speaking on the platform, you're teaching. Furthermore, if you're leading, as soon as I hear that word, I go, okay, that could be a problem because of 1 Timothy 2:12. I do not permit a woman to do what? Two connected things, teach or have authority. Teach or have authority. Leadership, by definition, has authority baked into it. So my question is, what exactly would she be doing? I feel comfortable saying this. If it is teaching, for instance, we're now going to be singing Amazing Grace. As you know, Romans 3 tells us that we are all sinners who fall short of the glory of God. Okay, that's teaching right there. So anything that I think is instructive in that regard, I would say that's verboten, courtesy of Paul, to both Timothy and to Titus. Could a woman be on the platform leading worship where it would like just giving people their cues when to come in? I don't think that I would call that a sin. I do think it communicates something, though. I think I've seen it. I remember this. I've shared this memory before. It was when I was at Grace Community Church. It was just a typical Sunday. And they were doing communion. And you know, you've got however many, about 3,000 people sitting there in the sanctuary, packed. And they do communion. And the all of the trays are up front on tables. And back then, I think it was John MacArthur said, invite the elders to come forward. So these were the elders. And these men, they marched down the aisles in their suits. And I was like, okay, this place is being run with some authority here. This, it just spoke something. And I think that we speak without actually saying a word, even in the way that we choose to do the service and who is a participant in the service. So my bent is you gotta define what worship leader means, because if you mean teaching and any form of leading that has authority, I don't think cueing a congregation is an authority thing. It's not teaching. It's just helping them to worship. I don't think that's a problematic, but I do think that it speaks a word that is less than, not a sin, but less than what I think speaks a better word, and that is having men in that role. Okie dokie then. Nobody's going to disagree, so no reason to give you the text number 877-282-2337. This is a Wretched Radio.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted. Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. Dr. Adam Dyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 Steps to Becoming a Man After God's Own Heart. And it is not what you think. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. It's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. As Sunday is Sunday, work is work, parenting is parenting, and somewhere in there you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast Integrated is so incredibly important. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. Luke was a physician and companion of Paul, who wrote an orderly account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He meticulously details names, places, and events. Luke shows great concern for people of every class, especially overlooked or undesirable people. We are all from various places and classes, but Jesus Christ is the Savior for all mankind. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Providence. This is purely providential. This is Wretched Radio. I'm putting my daughter's sound files back into their proper place. And Jimmy, I stumbled across this. Have not heard it. It says John Bunyan on hell, which is providential because there's been a lot of talk about hell these days. So let's listen to what John Bunyan had to say about hell, shall we? And again, I'm telling you, I stumbled on this.
John Bunyan, that great...
Oh, John MacArthur. He's quoting him.
I was gonna
well, they both start with John.
John Bunyan, that great saint of God, wrote this. In hell thou shalt have none but a company of damned souls with an innumerable company of devils to keep company with thee. While thou art in this world, the very thought of the devils appearing to thee makes thy flesh to tremble and thine hair ready to stand upright on thy head. But oh, what wilt thou do when not only the supposition of the devils appearing, but the real society of all the devils of hell will be with thee, howling, roaring, and screeching in such a hideous manner that thou wilt be even at thy wit's end and ready to run stark mad again for anguish and torment. If after 10,000 years an end should come, there would be comfort. But here is thy misery. Here thou must be forever. When thou seest what an innumerable company of howling devils thou art amongst, thou shalt think this again. This is my portion forever. When thou hast been in hell so many thousand years as there are stars in the firmament or drops in the sea or sands on the seashore, yet thou hast to lie there forever. Oh, this one word, ever, how will it torment thy soul? And many are in the net, moving to that inevitable furnace of fire.
Seems John Bunyan believed it was eternal conscious torment, but 877-282-2337.
Speaking, this is Chuck.
That was provident. Serious. It's like, well, there it is.
Yeah.
It was right after, I don't know why, Laodicea worship. And what does this one say? Should murderers be kept alive so we can evangelize them? What in the world?
Hey, Todd, in regards to your comments about capital punishment, how do you handle the argument that the person who committed the murder should be kept alive and ministered to in the hopes that they would come to repentance and saving faith?
Justice. We execute justice. We let the government do what the government do. It is a minister with authority to do exactly that, to use the sword to punish evildoers and to protect those of us who are obeying the laws. So we don't interfere with their jurisdictional authority. Justice is satisfied. And we hope the person gets saved because they are going to be meeting their maker. Because if I want to take that argument, and I've heard people use this, well, hey, isn't it better to keep them alive so they can hear the gospel? Well, hold on a second. God does not wink at injustice. God never plays favorites. That means everybody's going to be judged exactly the same. It's not going to be like, I really like that guy, so I'm just going to let him go. I'm going to let him slide. No, no, no. It is always exacting, and it is always equal, and it is always right. It is always just. And so we want that also. And if I wanted to use the argument to keep them alive so that they can get saved, I could return the argument, the volley back, and say, you know, maybe when they're marching down the hallway on the way to death, that's what the Lord uses to get them saved. So I don't want to make the case of what I should do based on what might happen. I want to follow biblical prescriptions. And justice is a big deal. So is jurisdictional authority. Sorry about that. I think I just got distracted. You know, funny, Jimmy, people say that I've got the 80H whatever thingy-mabob.
Do you?
I just think that.
Okay. Who would say that?
No, I wouldn't either. 877-282-2337.
Speaking of allegories, in Herman Hu, Todd, you said Jesus didn't do allegorical, but aren't the parables exactly that?
That, you know what? I get that, but no. Because parables are fictitious, made-up stories, typically short, punchy, with one point. It's intended to support a teaching. Allegory, it depends on what type of allegory you're talking about, of course, but allegory is finding a meaning behind everything. It's intended to take this is actually that, and that is this, and this thing is that thing. And so it's multi-layered, but also it's typically a non-historical event. An allegory is a non-historical event. Typically, the Bible is not filled with non-historical events. We can't go back and preach and allegorize a Noah's Ark. You'd go, well, no, you can't do that because that's an actual event. Bingo. So show me in the Old Testament any story that qualifies for allegory by the standard of it wasn't an actual historical event. And you can't find one. So technically, there can't be allegories. When the prophets, when they reach back, when I say the prophets, I mean the Bible writers, when they reach back to say, okay, that there, that story right there of Sarah and Hagar, this is like that. It's an illustration, but it's an illustration of something that is a teaching that was actual. And an allegory doesn't qualify for that. So I still maintain the distinction. Parables and allegories are different. Would I die on that hill if somebody says the Bible uses allegories? Well, I prefer to die on every hill, but I guess I wouldn't get too bent out of shape over that. There's bigger things. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Matt. Todd, I recently lost my nephew in a motorcycle accident. Would you recommend Tim Challey's book, Seasons of Sorrow, yes, to non-believing parents?
I think that I would have to hand it to them, being willing to not let it go. Meaning, hey, this book, super helpful. I think it could help you so much. But you do need to know it's written by a Christian author. And so it's a Christian perspective on the subject. Would you like it? I understand if you don't, but if you would, it's my gift to you. And if they're like, no, not interested, I don't know that I would force it on them. Now, could you just send it to them? Sure, you could. Could the Lord use it? Sure, he could use it to save them, but they can't find comfort from a Christian perspective on death. They can't. There is no hope for those that are hopeless. That is why Peter rejoiced. He said, rejoice greatly, exceedingly, because you have what kind of hope? A living hope. Well, a living hope. And by the way, that hope needs to be totally hopeful. And you say, so like 100%? No, that's not what Peter meant. Peter meant you should have total hope in the return of Jesus, that the consummation is coming and you're going to be a part of it. There's your total hope, as opposed to a percentage of how much you should be hoping. We have a joyful, living hope. The unbeliever doesn't. Sort of, it's akin to biblical counseling. A person who's a pagan can't benefit from biblical counseling because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. They have no desire for sanctification. They can't really understand the categories of sin, mind renewal. So. Yeah, you can give it to them if you want to. I think that personally, and it's not a sin if you give them the book, but personally, I would be focusing more on something directly evangelistic, because I don't want to confuse them that anything is that they do have any hope. I'm assuming that the person who died also was not in Christ, but the person who is mourning, they mourn without hope. I'd try to focus on something that's directly evangelistic. Jimmy, you add anything to that? It's a great book, by the way, Seasons of Sorrow.
Phenomenal. I've given out many copies.
Yeah, you should. You know what? That's one you should almost have like 10 in your house, because chances are you're going to be at that many funerals or experience that many deaths. Mm-hmm. And it's really good to have those things handy. Yeah, we've given out a ton of those too. Excellent book, Seasons of Sorrows. Tim Challey's, who happens to be a Fortis fellow. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Stephen. Todd, our Bible study is doing a deep dive in Romans, where it's very clear in the first chapter that God has revealed himself to everyone. There's no excuse for not knowing there's a God. My question, these villages that have never heard the gospel but have assigned God to certain things like the sun or the rain, while they know there is a God, are we to assume they will be punished because they think there may be multiple gods?
You gotta go to the text. Can't let my feelings drive this. I've got to submit totally to the word. And the Bible is clear. There is no other name under heaven whereby man must be saved. How will they believe if nobody preaches to them? How will somebody preach to them if nobody goes? How will anybody go if nobody sends them? Romans 10, this is historically why evangelicals have been so missionary-minded. We've got to bring the gospel to these people. Now, if you want a longer treatment on this, we have handled it before. You can go to Fortis Plus and probably search for it. I think in one of the Q&As that we did in... I think it was Oklahoma University. I think we've got that entire Q&A up there. This very subject came up. We should be ready to explain this. It's not a simple answer. So we do have a longer treatment of it, but the bottom line is this: for people to go to heaven, they must know Jesus Christ. That's why we go. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.